أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، والضلالة وأهلها في النار، أعاذنا الله وأجارنا من النار. Always, all the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His protection from home and from isolation home, from deception and from being deceived. We ask for the Almighty to make our statement, commentary, the interpretation, and the exegesis, that is the exegesis, to serve as a source of treatment, that is source of treatment plan to the heart of whom He wills. So inshallah, we are going to proceed with our tafsir session. If you can remember, this is our 21st session. That is session 21 of this blessed month of Ramadan. If you can remember, we are still on the ayah that is discussing related to the issue of al-wasiyah. That is verse 180 to verse 183 of Surah Al-Baqarah. We are discussing related to the issue of al-wasiyah. That is the issue of testamental will, that is recommendational testamental will. When a person is prior to his that is death, is required, he is required to give a particular will, that is to deliver a testament to the parent or to the relatives. So yesterday we heard about the grammatical aspect of the ayat, which we were able to have some of the learning outcome from those ayat. Similarly, related to the ayat, that is verse 180, that is that ayat, the ulama, they have different of opinion related to the ruling of that ayat. Majority of the ulama, like Abdullah ibn Abbas among the Sahaba, Qatada, Mujahid, and that is Abu Ali, many among the ulama of the Tafasir, they said that this ayah was that is a mansukh, meaning there was an ayah that erased the ruling of this ayah, which was the ayah in Surah An-Nisa, as we mentioned yesterday. That is verse 7 from Surah An-Nisa. That is the ayah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the rijali nasibun mimma taraka al-walidani wal-aqrabuna wal-nisa'i nasibun mimma taraka al-walidani wal-aqrabun mimma qalla minhu aw kathur nasibun mafruta. So that's the ayah that erased the ruling of this ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. And among the, that is the recent, that is ulama of tafsir, like Sheikh Abu Bakr Mahmoud Gumi, in his book of tafsir, Radd al-Adhan ila Ma'ani al-Qur'an, he, that is followed together with the, he followed the statement of, that is Abdullah ibn Abbas, or I would say, he, that is, he adopted to the interpretation by the saying that the ayah was, that is, Mansukha, that is by the ayah of Surah Nisa also. And also, Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'idi or Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'idi, Imam al-Sa'idi in his book of Tafsir, Taysiru Karim al-Rahman, fi Tafsiri Kalam al-Mannan, he also went on that opinion that this ayah is Mansukha. The Nasikh is that ayah that was mentioned in Surah Nisa. And this would be the mansukha of the ayah. So, and that was the epitope, and this would be the paratope. Or would say that would serve as a kind of, like for example, antibody, and this would be the antigen. Do you get it? So what I'm saying is that the ayah, there is the issue of an-nasikh wal mansukh. So that's why we are saying for you to understand that is the information related to the ayat in the Quran, you have to know that is the ahkam al-lagha, that is the rulings of, that is a grammar, that is in the aspect of the Arabic grammar, and also related to the issue of adab, that is a issue of the, that is a linguistical point of, that is a a view of those verses, the art which is related to the verse, and also you have to know the balagha and one portion of the mantiq, not ilm al kalam, and also you have to know that is the ahkam al tajweed on that ayah, because if you do false pronunciation, so you won't be able to get the, that is the meaningful aspect of the ayah, and also you have to know that is the other segment of the, that is the ulum al-Qur'an, like for example, knowing the asbab al-nuzul, the purpose why that verse, that is why the verse was revealed, what is the story behind it, and you have to know an-nasikh wal-mansukh. There was a time when Ali radiallahu anhu entered into the masjid, which I mentioned in the previous Ramadan, in the tafsir session of the previous Ramadan, even though that tafsir was a kind of that is, it was during the first time of the pandemic. So I mentioned about that is this issue. He entered into the masjid and he found people getting into a particular argument. They were debating, which is either related to some of the ayat in the Quran. Then he asked, do they know an-nasikh wal-mansukh? And they just keep muted. They become silent because they don't know what is an-nasikh wal-mansukh. Ali radiallahu anhu gave a kind of statement that if a person did not know what is an-nasikh wal-mansukh, so let him keep muted. Let him, that is, avoid interpreting the ayat. And that's it. And that's the problem that we are experiencing nowadays. Many people, they would try to give interpretation of the ayah, and at the end, they would give wrong interpretation. They would misguide the people. They will let people to get deviated. So that's why we should try as such to be careful. That's why the Rasulullah mentioned in one of the, that is a hadith, that ulama'un ala abwaab jahannam, du'atun ala abwaab jahannam, callous. Du'at that are near to the gate of the hellfire. من أضاعهم في فيها قذفوه من أطاءهم قذفوه فيها إن رب دريا ومن أطاءهم فيها قذفوه فيها فهم موسى أمال الأبير He received from them, he learned from them, then they would throw him, they would cast him into the hell. So that's one of the issues. We should be careful when giving interpretation of the ayat of the Quran. And that's why for the best interpretation is the one that will be based on athar, based on the interpretation of the five predecessors. Everyone would have his own view, he would have the point of understanding in the ayah. Based on his own personal, that is literacy, based on his own personal perception, inculcation of his mind, he can give the interpretation. But the best interpretation is the one that is built upon asar, that is built upon the interpretation of the pious predecessors, which is built upon the creed. Of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Ibn Abi Dawood mentioned in his Manzumat al-Ha'iyya by saying, وَذَا أَنْكَ أَرَاءَ الْرِجَالِ وَقَوْلِهِمْ فَقَوْلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَوْلَى وَأَشْرَحُ You should avoid the opinion of men. That is the opinion of other people. So that's what happens with the opinion of the Rasul because that is better. And that is most clarified. So if you want to have a clarified interpretation, go to the creed of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by that you will be able to have the most accurate, precise, and that is a qualitative interpretation in terms of the ayat. Because the ayat was revealed to him. That's why the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, خير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم the best generation the best of the generations are my generations and then those that would follow them and those that they would come after them so that's one of the issues and that's why we consider the interpretation the tafsir given that is wearing the طبقات الأولى the طبقات الثانية and the طبقات الثالثة is one among the most precious, that is exegesis. So, if we go back to the ayah, the ayah is talking about wasiyah. In the grammatical point of view yesterday, we mentioned that wasiyah is mu'annas but mujazi. We know we have mu'annas mujazi and we have mu'annas ghair mujazi. Some they call mu'annas ghair mujazi as mu'annas haqiqi or other name beside this. But to the point of our discussion is mu'annas mujazi. And we mentioned that mu'annas mujazi can be given, that is a male, that is attribute. It can be considered as also a muzakkar. How can we? That's why if you refer back to the Radd al-Adhan, ila ma'an al-Qur'an, he mentioned that is al-Isa when he was given the interpretation. So when he mentioned the ayah, he described that is the ayah talking about al-Isam, al-Shad, I'm talking about the grammatical point. That is Sheikh Abu Bakr Mahmud Gumi rahimahullah, he mentioned that al-Isam, that is mentioning al-Wasiyah. I do not mean that he did not mention al-Wasiyah in the literal, that is pronunciation of the ayah, but in the interpretation, in the exegesis. So there was a point when he mentioned that is al-Isa. So you see, that's why even if you mention wasiya, sufficient. If you mention al-Isa, sufficient. But it is not served as a qira'ah. You should not recite kutiba alaykum idha hadara ahadakum al-mawtu in taraka khayra al-Isa'a lil-walidayn al-aqrabin. No, this is not riwayah. But what we are saying in terms of grammar, if you use مصدر المعول, there is no problem with it also. So the reason because al-wasiya is, that is is a kind of mu'annas mujazi. So let's move further to the basic issue related to the ayah. So as we know, the ayah is mansukha. And we mentioned the ayah that erase the meaning of that. But among the ulama of the tafasir, just of recent, Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'idi in his subsidiary, Taysir al-Karim al-Rahman, Fi Taysir al-Kalam al-Wannan, he mentioned a kind of, that is analysis. He gave a kind of analysis which gave a kind of open interpretation to the word two verses, because he correlated the ayah in Surah Al-Nisa and the ayah this is the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, and he correlated the ayat and he mentioned the opinion of the ulama, and he said, he mentioned that is the basic opinion on that. Meaning, this ayah that is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah gave the, that is the information that is an insolid form. Why the ayah that come in Surah Al-Nisa came in order to give much more interpretation, in order to explain the qadiyya of the wasiyya, that is the testamental will. So in that ayah is لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثَرَ. So as we know, this ayah that we gave the interpretation, the literal meaning of it yesterday, it is verse 180 in Surah Al-Baqarah, and we get up to verse 183. So Almighty mentioned, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحْدُكُمُ الْمَوْتُ أَحْدُكُمُ الْمَوْتُ, it is decreed upon you if one of you approaches death, إِنْ تَرَخَ خَيْرًا, if he leaves wealth, الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينِ, then the testament should be to the parent and to the relatives, بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, fairly and accurately, حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُتَّقِينِ, it is a duty to the faris. And that which was mentioned in Surah Al-Nisa, it was mentioned, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ, men receive a share of what their parents and relatives leave, وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ, and women receive a share of what their parents and relatives leave, مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرُ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا, that is, be it a little or much, مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرُ, be it a little or much, mean be it a little amount of money or money, but that is a much amount of money, that is much wealth or little amount of wealth, نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا, that is a legal share, نصيب مفروضة, a legal share. So by the literal meaning of this ayah, you will be able to understand that this ayat are so related to each other. So here this is indicating the issue of the inheritance share of what the, that is of what, that is the parent leave or the relatives, can also be considered as one of the responsibility of the people that would inherit, that is the men and the females. So if you look, the concept of wasiyya does not, that get stagnated to the parent only and to the relatives only. So some of the ulama are saying that the issue of wasiyya, it has to be given to the relatives or to the parent, not to the children, that is your children that will inherit, that is the property, that is that they will inherit the world after you. But some of the ulama are saying that they have to adopt the view due to this ayah of Surah Al-Nisa that a wasiyya can be given to everyone, both the ones that can inherit and those that cannot inherit, because the former was already erased by the coming of the latter. Meaning the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah was the former ayah, that is the former, the one that was revealed, that is firstly and later on this ayah of Surah Al-Nisa was revealed in order to give more emphasis towards the qadiyya of the wasiyya. So that's one of the issues related to that. And I think the point are very clear. If we correlate the ayah, we will be able to get that is the exact meaning. So related to this ayah, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. There is one of the riwayah which was narrated by Ibn Jarir, and also Ibn Munzar narrated that riwayah. Also Ibn Abi Hatim narrated that riwayah from Abdullah ibn Abbas regarding the interpretation of that ayah. When he reached to Intaraka Khayra, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Ma lana. He said that Al Khayr, as how we mentioned yesterday, meaning that is the wealth. Also, there was another riwayah from that is from Ibn Jarir, also from the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, related to Intaraka Khayra, if he leaves wealth. He said, Al Khayru. أي المال الخير ما أي الخير المال the goodness meaning the wealth. Yesterday we discussed related to this point of the ayah. That is what is the meaning of الخير. We said الخير according to نحو because الخير that come in this place is مفعول به. So and also الجار والمجرور come related to it. So and that is the reason. That is the reason why it has to be given a precise, that's a precise explanation. And that's why all the ulama of the tafsir, majority of the ulama of the tafsir, they said al-khayr is wealth. That mentioned here. Also, there was a riwayah which was narrated by Ibn Jarir from the authority of Mujahid, one among the elites and the that is prominent ulama of the tafsir. Just among the Zumrat al-Tabi'een, he said, as for the, that is the meaning of al-khayr, that come in the Qur'an, all of the places that al-khayr is mentioned in the Qur'an, he said, it refers to the wealth. As for him, he considered all the ayat, any ayah in the glorious Qur'an that mention al-khayr, you have to interpret that as man, that is money, as wealth. And also he said, likewise to, that is to this ayah, in taraka khayran lil wasi, in taraka khayran. He said that is also referred to, that is wealth. So that's why if you refer back to some of the ayat, like for example, the ayah in the Surah Al-Sad, verse 32, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Prophet Dawood, he said, Inni ahbabtu hubb al-khayr. Inni ahbabtu hubb al-khayr. The love of wealth has been enforced into me. And also in Surah Al-Adiyat also, if we refer back to Surah Al-Adiyat by verse 8, I think, yeah, verse 8, Surah Al-Adiyat. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ. As for him to the love of wealth, he is shadidun. He is spending his hard work. He is that is pushing his hard work in the love of wealth. So likewise, if you refer back to Surah An-Nur also, verse 33, it was mentioned. The Almighty mentioned, "In alimtum fihim khayran." In one of the ayah, that is verse. If you go back to Surah An-Nur. Verse 33, in alimtum fihim khayra, also it is referred to the wealth also. So that is the interpretation given by one of the prominent ulama of the tafsir, that is Mujahid, which he comes just from the Zumrat al-Tabi'een, that is al-Tabi'een. There was one of the riwayah which was narrated by Abd ibn Humayd. Abd ibn Humayd al-Kishi, that is al-Kishi. He was tabi'u atba'u tabi'in, the followers of those who followed after the followers of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he come, that is just in the tabaqat al-thalith, and he was among the ulama that was known at that moment, that among the tabaqat al-thalitha that are known with the knowledge of hadith. So he narrated a riwayah from Abdullah ibn Abbas regarding intara khayran al-wasiyya. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, it was reported that he said, مَنْ لَمْ يَتْرُكَ سِتِينَ دِينَارًا لَمْ يَتْرُكَ خَيْرًا. For whosoever that did not leave 60 dirham, 60 silver coins, لَمْ يَتْرُكَ خَيْرًا, it would be considered as if he did not leave wealth, he did not leave goodness, he did not leave wealth. So meaning there will be no wasiyya. Do you get the logic? So someone would be asking, how much would be that is 16 dirham. So 16 dirham, that is 60 silver coins in this time of ours, to give a kind of rough estimation, it would be around like $180. $180. Like for example, if it is in the rupee, it would be like around 13, like for example, 14,000 rupees. Or for example, if it is in Naira, it would be like, I think in Naira it would be around 80,000 Naira or 75,000 Naira, for example. So you see, the amount of money is so negligible, it is not, it is little. So Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying, for whosoever that leave, whosoever that did not, that is for whosoever that fell to leave 60 silver coins to his family, he would be considered as a person that did not leave a wealth. So if the money, if the wealth is beyond 60 silver coins, or it is up to 60 silver coins, then it would be considered as khayra, meaning there will be wasiyya. Wasiyya can also be applied into it. But anything that is less, there won't be wasiyya. The money belongs to his family. The family will inherit the entire world. There will be no will that will be applied into that particular wealth because it is less than 60 silver coins. So that's the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Because one of the riwayah that was narrated in the Musannaf by Abdul Razzaq, he narrated that riwayah. And also Imam al-Faryabi narrated that riwayah. Also Sa'id ibn Mansur narrated that riwayah. Ibn Abi Shayba also narrated that riwayah. Also Abd ibn Humayd also narrated that riwayah. Also Ibn Jarir narrated that riwayah. Ibn al-Munzir also narrated that riwayah. Ibn Abi Hatim also narrated that riwayah. Also Imam al-Bayhaqi narrated that riwayah. Imam al-Bayhaqi narrated that riwayah in his Sunan. And that riwayah was from Urwa ibn Jubayr, if I can remember. That riwayah from the Urwa, from the riwayah of Urwa. He reported that Ali ibn Abi Talib, one day he entered into one of his free slaves. In one of the riwayah, they said he was a slave too, that is Ali ibn Abi Talib. In one of the riwayah, it was mentioned that particular person was a favorite to Ali radiallahu anhu. So when Ali radiallahu anhu visited him, so that particular person is about to die at that moment. And what he leaves, what he has, his financial, his current financial position at that time is around 70 to like 700 to 700 to 600 silver coins. So you see, according to the saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that if it is less than 600 silver coins, that is 60 silver coins, that is precisely around that is $89. But here, according to what demand leave, for example, is beyond that. That is around 700 to 600 to 700 silver coins. So when Ali radiallahu anhu asked him, related to his financial position, his net worth. Then the person decided to ask Ali radiallahu anhu. He said to him, Ala usi, should I give a testamental will? Should I give a testament a will? And Ali radiallahu anhu said to him, La, you should not. إنما قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن ترك خيرا because Allah the Most High said إن ترك خيرا if he leave wealth. So what is wealth? So that's one of the issues. We cannot, and normally that is a scenario also, you cannot call a person a wealthy person if he has little amount of money. So suppose some of the people that consider a person as a wealthy person when he is having the net worth, like for example, 100,000, for example, dollars, for example, or billion, or million dollars, for example. So, but during the time of the Sahaba, what they consider as wealth, like the saying of opinion of Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he considered a wealthy person as a person that is having the net worth of like $80, like for example 70,000 naira or around like 14,000 rupee, for example, as a wealthy person. But according to the opinion of Ali radiallahu anhu, he considered a wealthy person a person that has wealth as a person that lives something which is beyond 700 silver coins, or more than 600 silver coins. And as for 700 silver coins, 600 to 70, 600 to 700 silver coins, it would be like around to give a kind of wrong, to give a kind of, for example, a precision, or we can give a kind of estimation, a wrong estimation. A kind of rough estimation, we would say it's around like $270. So if a person is having less than $270, that would not be considered as wealthy. So according to the time of the Sahaba, like the opinion of Ali, a wealthy person is a person that has something that is beyond, like beyond $300. Like, for example, in Naira, the estimate would be like above 100,000 Naira. He would be considered as a wealthy person, the one that is having net worth of 100,000 Naira. Or a person that is having like around 20,000 rupee, for example. So that's the estimation which Ali radiallahu anhu gave to that particular man. And he says to him that because Allah said that in Tara Khayra, وليس لك كثير وليس لك كثير من المال, and you don't have much among the wealth, you don't have much of wealth, your money is not much. He said that فدع ما لك لورثتك, you should leave your wealth, give your wealth, offer your wealth to your inheritance, that is to the people that inherit you, to your family. Also, there was one of the riwayah which was narrated by Sa'id ibn Mansur. Also, Ibn Abi Shayba narrated that riwayah. Also, Ibn al-Munzir narrated that riwayah. Also, Ibn al-Bayhaqi narrated that riwayah, which was from the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha. There was one man that said to Aisha that Inni uridu an us, I would like to give a testamental will. I want to give wasiyah. Then Aisha radiallahu anha said to him, Kam malik, what is your current financial position? What is your net worth? Qal, he said to her, Thalathatu alaf, that I'm having Thalathatu alaf. Thalathatu alaf, that is around 3,000 silver coins. 3,000 silver coins. So you see, his money is much more. Well, what she said to him, Kam iyaluk, what is the population of your family? Mary, what is the, how many people are there in your family? Those that you are taking care of them. And that particular person said to her, Arba'atun, they are four in numbers. And she said to him, Allahu in tarahu khayra. The Almighty said, if that particular person, the person, the testator, live, that is a khayra, that is he live wealth. وَهَذَا شَيْءٌ يَسِيرٌ But this is a small amount, this is a little amount of money. So he considered, that is ثَلَاثَةُ عَلَاف 3,000 silver coins as a little amount of money. So that's her opinion. You see, according to Abdullah ibn Abbas, 60, that is a 60 gold coins. As for Ali radiallahu anhu, beyond 700 silver coins. As for Aisha radiallahu anha, according to her opinion, a wealthy person, he'll head to his family, whether he is doing family planning or not. For example, like those that are having many children, for example, they should have something beyond 3,000 silver coins, then they will be able to give issue, they can issue, that is the wasiyah. So this is one of the aspect of mercy, which is indicating the beauty side of the religion, that the money of the father, those that are highly qualified to inherit the wealth is the, that is his family, so that the family should benefit from the money. But if the money is little and he decided to give wasiyah, that is to like issue something to the next portion of his wealth, then it is as if he offers his family. We mentioned the statement of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he said to one of his companions, that it's better for you to leave your family in the condition of wealthy than for you to leave them in the condition of poverty, because they would be begging people to suffice for them. So that's one of the issues related to the aspect of the will. So she said, because this your money is a less, it's a little amount of money. And she said, فَتْرُكُهُ لِإِيَالُكُ Leave it to your family. فَهُوَ أَفْضَلْ That is better. That is the fatwa of Aisha radiallahu anha. There was one of the riwayah which was narrated by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf. Also Sa'id ibn Mansur narrated that riwayah. Imam Bayhaqi also narrated that riwayah, which was from the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, إِنْ تَرَكَ الْمَيِّتَ 700 dirhamin فَلَا يُوصِي If the deceased live only, that is, if the person that approaches the death live only 700 dirham, 700 silver coins, فَلَا يُوصِي He should not give the testamental will. So meaning he is not qualified to give the testamental will, because the money, the amount of money is so little. It will not be even sufficient to the family, to those that would inherit the wealth. So why would he donate one portion of his wealth? Meaning he would oppress his family. So that's one of the issues related to the issue of will and the opinion of the Sahab. So that's one of the issues. And also there was one of the riwayah which was narrated by Abd ibn Humayd, which was from the authority of Abi Majlis. According to his interpretation and his patawa, he said, Al-Wasiyyatu ala man taraha khayra. The wasiyyah, the testamental will, recommendational testamental will is upon a person that lived wealth. So if you are wealthy, then you are qualified to give the testament. So that's one of the opinion of Abi Majlis. Also, Abdul Razak, in his book also, he narrated one of the riwayah from Abd ibn, that is, he narrated that riwayah from Imam Zuhri. And also, Abd ibn Humayd also has that narration. Also, he reported a riwayah similar to that, also from, that is, Imam Zuhri. Imam Zuhri once mentioned related to the interpretation of this ayah and his opinion related to the issue of al-wasiyya. He said, "Ja'allahu al-wasiyyatu haqqan mimma qalla minhu aw kathar." That the Almighty make the wasiyya, he legalized the wasiyya in anything that is of little or much. So according to the opinion of that is even Shihab al-Zuhri, he says that the wasiyya can be applied to a little amount of money or much amount of money. Whether the money is much, your net worth is high or is low, you can do that. That is the wasiyya. So that is the opinion of Imam al-Zuhri. There is one of the riwayah from Abd ibn Humayd, which was narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. Abd ibn Humayd narrated that riwayah. Imam al-Bukhari also narrated that riwayah, because Imam al-Bukhari did not narrate the riwayah from Abd ibn Humayd. But Abd ibn Humayd narrated that riwayah. Also, Imam al-Bukhari narrated that riwayah. Imam Muslim also narrated that riwayah from Abdullah ibn Umar. The hadith was authentic hadith, which was narrated by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih. Imam Muslim also in Sahih Muslim. In his Sahih, he narrated that riwayah from Abdullah ibn Umar. He said that I had the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "Ma haqqu imru'un muslimin tamur alayhi thalasi layalin illa wa wasiyyatuhu indahu." What is the responsibility of a person that is a Muslim that 3 days would come and fast by him, unless his wasiyya should be before him? Meaning, a person should not delay a testamental will. He should let his wasiyya to be intact, to be with him. That is to make sure that he has his wasiyya for not more than 3 days. Meaning, for whatsoever that happened on his daily routine, after each 3 days, he should be updating his document. That is his documentation of his wasiyya. He should be recording of his, he should record anything that is related to his wasiyya, anything that he can give a testament, that he can recommend to the people, maybe if he is having the thought that he would pass away, or for example the death is approaching him, or he reached to the aging. So that's one of the issues related to the hadith. So Abdullah ibn Umar once says related to this, he said that he said, since from that moment I did not allow 3 days to come and fast by me unless my wasiyya, my testamental will would be with me. In one of the riwayah, it would be beneath my pillow. So that's one of the opinion of Abdullah ibn Umar. He says, meaning that the testament should be on time basis, not just when you approach the deadline, that is after each and every three days, you should update your document. So that's why you are required, if you want to be much more productive, try as such to get a personal memo, a small pamphlet, a small memo, small book, for example, or a kind of jawaz, for example, that you would be able to be documenting any important thing in your life, in your daily routine, in your interaction, relationship with people, whatsoever you encompasses. Try as such to have a kind of document on that, so that you will not leave a conflict after you. So we mentioned that this ayat and the previous ayat are giving us explain to us the way to solve conflict, the internal and external conflict, the way to solve it, and also the way to stop it happening. So because this issue, the issue of will is related to the inheritance. If someone is, or if you are owing, that is, if someone is owing you a money, you are owing someone's money or someone is owing you money and you fail to declare that, definitely you will live a conflict after that. If that particular person will pardon you on that, so that's one of the issues related to the issue of wasiyya. And also there was one of the riwayah narrated by Abdul Razzaq. Also Abdul ibn Humayd narrated that from the authority of Qatada. So the riwayah of that Qatada, despite the riwayah was a kind of riwayah that is considered as mursal, because he said the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِفْتَاءُ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِمْرِئٍ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا عُرِفَ عَمْرًا بُخِلَ بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. That all you people, you should إِفْتَاءُ أَنفُسَكُمْ, that is a sell yourself, مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, that is your Lord. If you refer back to Surah Al-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the Almighty mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَغَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لِمْرِئٍ شَيْءٌ إِلَّا عُرِفَ أَمْرًا بُكِلَ بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. As far as there would be something with the person of wealth, as far as someone would be having a wealth, so definitely there would be a particular situation that you would be stingy, you would be greedy in one of the divine matters. Hatta iza hadar al-maut, until the time when the death would approach, yuza umalahu hahuna wa hahuna, then he would begin to designate his wealth, to designate his wealth, to donate his wealth to this direction, to that direction, because he sees the death. Instead of him to, that is to help others, to support others, to support the needy, the orphans, the time where he is having the chance, he is capable, but he will not do it, he will be stingy, he will be greedy, until when he sees that the death approaches him. So that's what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, despite the riwayah was a mursala, but some of the ulama, they justified that narration. And by that also there was one of the narration that Qatada, he mentioned that وَيْلَكَ يَبْنَ عَادَمْ اتَّكَ اللَّهِ, that oh you the son of Adam should fear Allah, وَلَا تَجْمَعْ إِسَاءَتَيْنِ, you should not combine two shortcomings, مَا لَكَ إِسَاءَةٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that why do you have a kind of shortcoming in the life of the world, in one of the riwayah, مَا لَكَ إِسَاءَةٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that your wealth is considered as a shortcoming, that is as a trial in the life of the world. And if you fail to, that is to pass that trial, then you will be considered as a wrongdoer, as a shortcoming. وَإِسَاءَةٌ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and a shortcoming during the time of death. Then he says, أُنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ قَرَابَتِكَ الَّذِينَ يَحْتَاجُونَ وَلَا يَرِثُونَ, look before your relatives, the ones that are in need, and they won't be able to, they are not qualified to inherit anything from your wealth. فَأَوْسِلَهُمْ بِمَالِكَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, try as such to give unto them a testamental will in that which is fairly and accurate. So that's the statement of Qatada related to the issue of wills, because your relatives, as far as you are having children, you have the wife, so they will not be able to inherit, that is, even a single penny from your wealth. So you should give unto them, you should suffice for them, you should support them, assist them with your wealth at the time that you are having the chance, before you reach to the time where the death would approach you. So at that moment, even if you offer that will, there is a certainty that it will not be accepted, because there are conditions related to the execution of testament and will. So that's one of the issues. And also there was one of the narrations from Abdul Razzaq. He narrated a riwayah. Also Abdul ibn Humayd narrated that riwayah. Also, that riwayah from Abdul ibn Humayd was from the authority of Ubaidillah ibn Abdullah ibn Ma'mar. He was a judge in the city of Basra, that is Adad. As for him, he says, according to his opinion, he said, Man awsa fa samma. Man awsa fa samma. For whosoever that gave the testamental will. And then he prescribed the names. He said, Ataina man summiya. We would give the share of the wealth. We would give, meaning the portion of the wealth. We would offer the wealth to the ones that he prescribed. Meaning to the names of those that he prescribed. So this is a judge that is talking about. This is the matters of court. So this is legal issues. According to that is Ubaydillah ibn Abdullah ibn Ma'mar, that is the judge in the city of Basra during his lifetime. It was reported he has a particular saying that if a person gave a testamental will and he mentioned the names of some of the people, the names of the people that should be given a share from his wealth, then he said, "Aatina man summiya." We would give, we will give, that is, we will offer the wealth to those that he prescribed. وَإِنْ قَالَ But if he says, دَعْهَا حَيْثُ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ أَعْطَيْنَاهَا قَرَابَتُهُ. If he says you should give this wealth, offer this wealth to those that the Almighty commanded with, to those that Almighty commanded that they should be given, then he says, أَعْطَيْنَا قَرَابَتُهُ. So we would give the wealth to his relatives. Meaning, third parties, other people will not get any penny from that wealth. Rather, those that are highly qualified according to that, that is our commands of the Almighty, they are the ones to get the share from the wealth. So that's why he said he would offer the wealth to his relatives. So based on those kind of analysis of some of the ayat and the hadith of the Rasulullah, he get to the conclusion to establish this kind of judgment. For whosoever that give wasiyah and he prescribe the names of those, the names of some of the individuals that they should be given a share from his wealth, that is, they should be given a particular segment of his wealth, then we can, he said, we can give them, we would give the wealth to them. That is to those that he named, that is those that he prescribed, without those that he did not prescribe. But if it happens that his testament mentioned that you should give this wealth to any person that the Almighty recommended that he should be given, then he would offer the wealth to his relatives, not to the external individuals. Also, there was one of the riwayah from Abd al-Razzaq, also from Abd ibn Humayd, from the authority of Tawus. As for Tawus, he has the opinion by the saying that man awsa liqawmin wa sammahum, for whosoever that give wasiyah to some of the individuals, just to a particular group of people, and he named them, he prescribed their names, wa taraka dhawi qarabatahu muhtajin, and he leave his relatives in the condition of need. They are needy, his relatives, his family. انتزعت منهم وردت على قرابتي. That of the money would be seized, would be collected from those external individuals, from the third parties, and it would be given to his relatives. Also, there was one of the riwayah from Abd al-Razzaq in his Musannaf. Also, Abd ibn Humayd narrated similar riwayah, which was from the statement of Hassan al-Basri. As for the opinion of Hassan al-Basri, he says that إذا عوسى في غير أقاربه, that if a person give a wasiyah to someone that is not part of his relatives, بالثلثي, with one third of the wealth, جاز له ثلث الثلث. So what is qualified unto them, what would be given to them is 1/3 of that 1/3. Meaning he would be given 1/6 of the wealth instead of 1/3. That is 1/3 of the weight. ويرد على أقاربه ثلثي الثلث. And the remaining 2/3 of the weight would be given to that is his family. Meaning, if that particular person that the deceased mentioned that he should be given 1/3 of the weight, so the weight, the issue would be analyzed. Instead of giving him 1/3 of the weight, he would be given 1/6 of the weight. And that is a 5/6 would be given to his family, meaning instead of him taking 1/3, the 1/3 would be divided into another 1/3. So the remaining 2/3 of the world would be given to his relatives. To his relatives. So that's one of the issues related to the testamental, that is weak. And also, there was one of the riwayah which was narrated by Abd al-Mazzaq. Also, Abd ibn Humayd narrated that, which was also from the statement of Hassan al-Basri, similar statement that the issue would be considered. Instead of giving him that 1/3, he should be given 1/6. Do you get it? So that's one of the issues, because he is not among the relatives, because those that are qualified, those that the divine ruling mentioned are the relatives. لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ to the two parents and to the relatives. Do you get it? So by this we will be able to understand that the part of the ruling of that ayah is also, that is a function, but the entire ruling comes from that ayah in Surah An-Nisa, because majority of the ulama, some of the ulama, they say that the ayah in Surah An-Nisa erased the hukum of the ayah that came in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 180, which is the ayah that we are discussing here. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةُ لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف حقا على المتقين. So that's one of the issues related to that. So like for example, okay, the time, okay. It's almost time, so I would like to, like for example, minimize. That is some of the points so that we would be able to accomplish before that is the scheduled time. Also, there was one of the riwayah from Sa'id ibn Mansur. Also, Imam Ahmad narrated that riwayah. Also, Abd ibn Humayd. Also, Abi Dawud al-Sajistani narrated that riwayah in his Kitab al-Nasik. That is Abi Dawud narrated that riwayah. Also, Ibn Jarir narrated that riwayah. Also, Ibn al-Munzir narrated that riwayah. Also, Imam al-Hakim al-Nisaburi narrated that riwayah in his Mustadrak, and he authenticated that riwayah. Also, Imam al-Bayhaqi narrated that riwayah in his Sunan, which was from the authority of Muhammad ibn Sirin. Ibn Sirin was once mentioning, he says that one day Abdullah ibn Abbas delivered a sermon. فَقَرَعَ سُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ and he recited Surah Al-Baqarah. فَبَيَّنَ مَا فِيهَا and he explained what is inside that is Surah Al-Baqarah. Meaning he is giving the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, the exegesis, the interpretation of the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah. حَتَّى مَرَّ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ he said until when he arrived to that is this ayah. That is a كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَدَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ. So إِنْ تَرَى خَيْرَ لِلْوَصِيَّةِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ مَسْعُودٍ says نُسْخَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. He said this ayah was erased, meaning the hukum of this ayah was erased. So we mentioned about this issue. So I think due to the time limitation, we would stop here. By tomorrow, we'll continue with the that is discussion related to the issue of Wasiyya and the remaining three verses. Allah understand. The remaining two verses are related to this ayah. So the issue of the Nasikh, that is Al-Mansukh, is also applied to the remaining ayat, because they are related to the previous ayah. That's why we are talking about interakhir on the wasiyyat al walidain wal aqrabin. That is the point of discussion. The remaining segment of the ayah is not mentioned by the first witnesses that it is. That is erased. That is the ruling is erased. The ruling is also applied. So some of the questions that were provided, I have answered the question related to that, related to the issue of that is ahkam, that is ahkam tajweed, the issue related to the ahkam al-fiqh. For example, issues of jurisprudential ruling, the issue of some of the questions related to that is haidah, some of the questions related to that is issue of fasting and other issues related to the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. So there is one of the requests that I would like to forward. Yesterday I was informed by one of my brothers that his father died just of recent. He informed me about that is the demise of his father. We ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him, to forgive the soul of that is our father, and we ask for the Almighty to bless him and also to bless his family. Indeed, actually, we benefited a lot, directly or indirectly, from his father, obviously. There was a time when I was not having the money to buy some of the books, some of the textbooks of the that is of like for example there is one of the book that I can if I can remember related to the issue of tawheed, and some of the book related to the issue of fiqh also, and some of the book of tafasir. So at that moment Abdurrahman, that is one of that is my colleague, he used to get the books from the library of his father, and he used to give me the book for me to go through the books at, for a while, and I would read that is I return the book to him. Allah musta'an. I benefited a lot from the book from the library of his father. I will not say directly, but indirectly through his son, obviously. Allah musta'an. So that's one of the issues. That's why the Rasulullah is saying one of the things that would follow you after your death is ilmun adas al ilmun nafa. That is the beneficial knowledge. So we benefited from actually the father of Abdurrahman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. He just informed me about the that is the demise of his father just of reason. Allah, I don't know. And inshallah, we should try such to include his father in the prayer. Wallahu musta'an. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.